I have a question about all sure. If I own a house that it's fenced, right? And I go to that has a fence around it.
Yes.
And I go to the backyard. Let's say I'm drinking some tea, I go out to the backyard and I come in. That's not Chinu in my comb. But if I go to the front yard.
Front yard and there's no fence, just
it's
open.
Fence. Yes.
Also fenced in?
Yes. But the rule of the place is that most of the houses are not fenced. Let's say in here in North Miami Beach that almost everyone has no fence.
Right, but you're talking about a case where
you
where it
have
does.
A fence, yes.
Yeah, so it has a fence, then we would look at it like just cheder le cheder, from one room to the other, and you wouldn't have to repeat the bracha.
Okay.
See, what I had said was that I mentioned the shita of Moshe Feinstein regarding a backyard that even if it's not fenced in, he still considered it. Excuse me, from only like room to room, even if there's no fence, which is different than all the other poskim that we saw quoted. But because he said, because it's very common for people to go out in the middle of a meal and go to the back and go back and forth. But for that, we distinguish. But that would only be in the back. The front with no fence. Even Rav Moshe probably would not consider, he would consider that be out of the house. But if you're talking about a situation where it is fenced, the property is all enclosed, the fence, then even in the front, it wouldn't make a difference. It should be just room to room. But the average, you would not make it with a bracha.
Second question, Rav. My wife now, it's in a new fashion of drinking a lot of water. So now she carries like a big bottle and she goes to the car. She has a bottle. She goes out of the car. So she asked me, what should I do? Do I say, let's say I do shekel in the car. And I go out of the car, and then I come back, and then I go out.
I mean, like shopping, goes out to shop with
yes,
the stuff.
Yes,
as long as she's like on the road, she doesn't have to repeat the bracha. She's a traveler.
Yes.
So assuming she started drinking when she was already moving.
But she has to have the kavanah that she's going to drink all the way.
Well, it's understood that way. It's understood that once you're traveling, so you have no makom, so you could continue going in and out of the car, in and out of places. The only question is when she comes back home, or she ends up in a building where she's staying now. So that was a question. I think I said it from Diane Fisher that even there, once you're, it still don't need a new bracha. But I think that's a question. That's questionable. But as long as she's not doing that, she's just going, stopping into the store for something and driving in the dry cleaners and maybe dropping with something in a friend's house, in and out of the car like that, going to stop for gas. That's all. All under the same bracha.
If you refill the water bottle, would you need a new bracha? And at some point, you're having a new drink. Would it matter?
No, as long as you when you made the original bracha, you intended so that if it's a situation where if you were home and refilled it, you wouldn't need a new bracha, then even if you're traveling, you don't.
And if someone was at a coffee shop and they sat down and they had their coffee or finished a hot call, if they still have coffee left, would it be better for them to make burn nefashos and get into the car, make another bracha, or just to continue, make another bracha rishona in their car?
So the latter, meaning you don't have to make a brain of fashos in order to make a new bracha rishona. If you're going to make, if you make a shina, as you're eating the, drinking the coffee house, you weren't to travel then, and well, I see you want that, got to go, but I have half my cup, I want to take it with me. So then you're going to require a new bracha, but you don't have to make, you shouldn't make a bracha. If you plan on continuing to drink, don't make a bracha achrona.
Just
take it.
Continue.
So
we're going to make another bracha.
And you get into your car, make it a shakel, and just don't forget to make a bracha achrona.
Do you have to wear a harona if you're drinking coffee?
Well, it depends. For sure, if you drink a revius, which, let's say, just a little bit over 3 ounces or around 3 ounces within 2 swallows or so, then you do, and for sure you do. If it's hot coffee and you're sipping it and you never have, very much, then it's a big machlokas, because if you sip a cold drink like that, you don't make a bracha achrona, because it's not, you didn't drink a revius within the shear of, it's called kedei shtias revius. But a hot drink, where it's the derech to do that, that's the way you drink a hot drink, is a machlokas achronim. Some achronim, well, you do make a bracha achron on that. And Mr. Brewer's recommendation is leave some of the coffee over, to leave a revius over at the end, or to cool off enough that you could drink it down straight in 2 swallows, and then make a bracha achronim. If you end up not doing that, though, and you end up just sipping the whole thing, and you never drank a revius in 2 swallows, then some machlokas achronim, we probably would not make a bracha achronim. Although there are those who did, but those paskens you do, but misafik brachos we would.
So like a smoothie, you'd never make, like a smoothie would be very hard to make
a smoothie, just drinking slowly.
It's like a straw.
Right. Unless you made a strong effort to.
Right.
And just to clarify for the first question, if you go to your front yard to like bring in groceries or get the mail, you would make a new pesach shenei makom, right?
Yes. just that we did mention that since there is one opinion that if you could, from where you are, you could still see the place you ate, the room. So if that's the case, if there's a window you can see in, better to take another step or two and like go around the corner for a minute or something, but specifically walk to the place where you can't see in to avoid that shadow. But if you know, as soon as you walk out there, you can't see the room that you're eating in, then that's a shidduch. Okay, we got the chazer. These come up all the time. It's the I feel like I have something in my eye the whole time here. But. Okay, so I want to continue. There, the halachas that we started on last week with v'hayamachanecha kadosh, the halachas of not making a bracha where there's some foul substance, foul odor. There's so many details, many simanim. It's unbelievable. There are many simanim in Shulchan Aruch in a row, starting basically starting with siman ayin vav, going through into the peis. Pei gimel, or maybe beyond, siman after siman with more. Halachas about this more and more details. Yeah, pei dalet is even about America. It's there's more. Yeah, there's more. Many siman about this. Now we're not going to go through all halachas, all the details, but I do want to go through some more relevant klalim concepts and situations. So the basic rule, just to review, really in a nutshell, we said last time was that if there's Soa, we used Soa as the primary case of something that's considered a substance in front of which you can't make a bracha. So we said that if it's in front of you, then even if it's out of Dalet Amos, Kimlo Einov, as long as you could see it. If it's behind you or off to the side and you can't see it by when you're looking straight ahead, then it was dependent on Dalet Amos. If it's within your Dalet Amos, you still can't say a bracha. And that's mamash an Issur D'oraisa. It's an Issur D'oraisa to say a bracha. So we're talking about uncovered. Uncovered human feces that's behind you and you don't even smell anything, but you know it's there. You see it's there, so you turn your back on it and you want to say a bracha. It's an Issur D'oraisa if you're still within Dalet Amos. Issur D'oraisa to say a bracha or to say Kriya Shema or to learn any Devash V'Kedusha. If it's covered, so then it's and there's no reich, so then it's mutter even if it's mamash right next to you or right in front of you, doesn't make a difference. Once it's covered, then because the pasuk says v'chisisa se'asecha, covered. Once it's covered and you don't smell anything, it's mutter. If there is a reich, so then if it's uncovered and there's a reich, then you have to not only distance yourself from the reich, but you have to go 4 amos away from where the reich ends. Because the reich itself is aser min haTorah to say within the realm of the reich, and you have to be 4 amos away from the reich. There's a shaila whether those dalet amos are deraisa the rabbanon, but that's for sure the halacha. You have to be 4 amos away from where the reich ends. If it's covered, then it was a machlokas. You still, if you smell it, if the reich reaches you, it's for sure aser. But if the reich doesn't reach you, but you're within 4, you just like step back until the area is clean, until there's no odor, but you're within 4 amos of where the odor ends. That's a shayla. That's cool because that's called a, if it's covered, it's called a reich ra, or it's a question whether it's considered reich ra she'ein bo ikur. And by a reich ra she'ein bo ikur, the halacha is that you don't have to be dalet amos away from the gvul, just dalet amos away, just away from the reich, not in the area of the reich itself. Okay, that was basically the main rules we said last time. Now I want to add one point which we touched on last time, and that is the following. If you remember, these halachas are all based on psukim in Parshas Ki Tse, where the Torah says, it's talking about people at war, but it goes in all cases, and it says that here, it's in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk. Start with pasuk yud. Kisei tse machna aleivech v'shmarat v'kol davara. Okay, then here, and then in pasuk yud gimel v'yot yelecha michutz l'machna v'yitzas tisham michutz. You should have an area that you can go to when you need to relieve yourself. V'yasei tiyelecha lazeinecha. You should have a spade with your other kalim. V'haya b'shivzecha chutz. Basically, use the spade, the little shovel, to cover over it with dirt, that which the feces. And then it says, "Ki Hashem Elokecha mishalech b'kerav machanecha." The Ribbono Shel Olam is amongst you. Lahatzilcha, to save you, to deliver your enemies in your hands. V'haya, here are the words, V'haya machanecha kadosh, v'lo yirevecha ervas davar, v'shav mecharecha. So we have two things, V'haya machanecha kadosh, that is the source of what we're talking about last week and still now, that you can't have a foul substance or foul odor in your machane. And your machane, so far we've defined as, well, at least Dalet Amos, and we'll see soon further detail about that. And then it's a v'lo yirevecha ervas davar. So he said that teaches us also that you can't make a bracha or a davin if you could see erva. And that we have to get to maybe next week, an area of the body that's supposed to be covered and is not. So you can't say a bracha when you're facing that. So now there's a machlokes rishonim. Machlokes, the Rashba and the Rush. Is this phrase, v'lo yirevecha ervas davar, is that going back on v'haya machanecha kadosh as well? Meaning to say, is there an iser by things like tzoa, things like feces? Is there an iser of lo yirevecha that you can't see that as well? And so the Rashba says yes. The Rashba says that the pasuk of the phrase in the pasuk v'lo yirevecha ervas davar is not just referring to things erva, v'loivcha ervas davar, but it's also referring to the things that are usher because of machanecha kadosh. It's also referring to things like tzoa that can't be in your machane. It also can't be, even if it's out of your quote unquote machane, you can't be seeing it when you're making a bracha. According to the Rashba, that's why something in front of you, even if it's more than Dalet Amos, you're still not allowed to say a bracha. We said that as a halacha according to everyone, but according to the Rashba, that's the reason. The reason is because that you're not allowed to see it. V'lo yirevecha ervas davar. According to the Rush, no. The Rush learns that phrase v'hayyevecha of leirchav ervas davar is only going in erva. There's no iser of seeing tzoa per se. So according to the Rush, why is it then that if it's in front of you, we said that if it's you can see it, it's usher? Because according to the Rush, he learns that as far as you can see is called machanecha. Behind you or on the side, machanecha, your camp, your air, your territory is only Dalet Amos. But in front of you, says the Rush, your territory is as far as you could see. So that's the reason, according to the Rush, why if you could see it, if it's in front of you, it's us as far as you could see. Not because lo yirevecha, because of machanecha. But according to the Rush, it's because of lo yirev. What's the big nafkamina? Let's say it's in a different room. It's in a different room, but you could see it. So it's in a different, the door's open, but it's and you can see straight into that room. So that's clearly not machanecha. Nobody's the Rush is going to say already that's not machanecha because it's not. It's in a different. It's in its own surrounded by its own mechitzos. So therefore, according to the Rush, no problem. I can see it. The Rush says that's no problem. There's no problem, even though you can see it. There's no iser of lo yirevecha ervas davar on soa. That's going on erva. That's going on unclad women or parts of the body that are unclad that need to be covered. But that's not going on soa. There's no lo yirevecha. It just like I said, if it's in the same rishus as you, just that you and more than 4 amas, that's called machanecha. But once it's in a different room, that's not machanecha anymore. But the Rashba says doesn't make a difference. Like, yeah, it's not machanecha, but it's still us because of lo yireh. So it comes out machlokas Rashba and Rush in that case, that would include. Let's say you could see it. Let's take one step at a time. So that's talking about the door is open and you can see it. So the Rush paskins that is mutter then to say a bracha. And the Rashba would say that it is usur. Now, we're talking again, there's no odor, not no reach so far, just that you can see it, and in a different room. Now,
according to the Rush, has to be in a different room, like even if, or just as long as you don't see it, it's not an issue.
Well, if it's out of your Dalet Amos, once it's out of Dalet Amos, you can't see it. Now, we said as long as it's within the range that you could typically see it, even if you know, then it still has that because that's called machanecha. As far as you can see in front of you, it's called machanecha, unless it's behind other mechitzos.
But according to the Rush, it doesn't matter if you can see it or not, right?
It doesn't matter, meaning it's okay that you see it as long as it's not in machanecha. But if there's no mechitzos, then machanecha is defined by how far you can see, according to the Rush. Right, if it's like this room, okay, something if there's something there, if I can see something all the way up to the end of the room, then that's called machanecha, even though it's out of my Dalet Amos.
If it was right outside the door, then that wouldn't be
right. If that door would be open, it's on the porch, and I could see it. The Rashba say no problem because it's out of the room. It's out of the machane. The Rashba says it's still a problem. I can see it. But if it's within the room, so then machanecha is defined by how far you can see. If it's far away that I can't see it already, that's not called machanecha.
So, if you are in that situation and you face the opposite way and you're 4 amots away from the...
Then there's no problem. If it's behind you, then for sure, machanecha is limited to Dalet Amos. So you turn yourself around and that's fine. Yeah, as long as there's no reach, you can't see it, it's behind you, according to everyone is fine. Right, everyone's fine then. Right, okay. If you have that, the ability to do that. Okay, now, let's say it's on it's on an umbra. Let's say you're within the room itself, and there's a platform which is 10 tefachim high, and 10 tefachim is approximately a little 40 inches, a little bit less than 40 inches. Tefach is about 3.5 inches. Some say up to 4 inches. So you have a platform. Let's just be. Say 40 inches high, and it's 4 by 4 tefachim wide, and you have something else on that is also considered to be in a different rishus. That's not your rishus. It was a clear open Gemara Maseches Brachos. One is not allowed to say Divrei Torah or Brachos or a tefillin in front of a mace, right? Let's say there's someone passed away, and the body is right there in the room. You're not allowed to daven in that room in front of the mace or say Brachos or anything because it's loig l'rush. It's like you're mocking the person, the person who is no longer living, that he can't do this. But it says in the Gemara, if the mace is on an amud, 10 tefachim high, and 4 by 4 wide, then it's mutter, even though it's right in front of you, because it's considered a different rishus.
So let's say over this table.
Yeah, table, you have to measure it. It's probably not 10 tefachim high, is it 40 inches from the ground? I don't know. Okay, so if it is 40 inches high, and 4 by 4 tefachim, yes, then if the mace would be, then it would be mutter.
Oh, wow.
It's considered to be in a different rishus. You're not in the same rishus as the mason. So here,
four inches deep.
Not 4 inches. You mean 10 tefachim deep?
I mean 10 tefachim deep.
That would also be okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is what you mean to. You're alluding to, but there are two achron and the nitziv in one place, and the Zakan Aaron or Baron Vulcan both write that nowadays there should be the way people are buried, which is. Yeah, there's more people are buried more than 10 tefachim deep. There should be really no problem in a cemetery, even going with your tzitzis or saying Divrei Torah or walking with tefillin, which we don't do anyway. But it seems to be mutter because the whole din that you can't do these things in a base of kvaras was talking in the old days when they buried people much more shallow. They were within 10 tefachim of the surface of the ground, so you're in the same rishus as the mace. But if the mace is 10 tefachim deep, then you're in a different rishus. It's be mutter. Now, Maisa, we're not knowing to be Mekel that way. According to that, there'll be no problem in today's cemetery. So we're not knowing to be Mekel that way, but these two Achronim do say that.
Wait, so is
there
an Isser
Davening Kever? Is there an
Isser Davening
Kever?
No, am I even, when you go to
Kever,
even, like,
Isser Davening
at the
Kever?
It's like 10
talking
away, it's in
Durmish Shosanim.
So
I'm saying, according to these
Achronim,
there would be no problem.
No. I'm saying, like, not halachically, like, Indians, like,
dominate
the
Kibbutz
Tzaddikim.
Yes.
They're buried below 10
tefachim.
Do you even get that Indian
about? Oh, you mean they're not there?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I don't know. I that's already in Yonim. But I would imagine you're in the Makom. I would imagine that is, because I see what you're saying. It's like they say, B'shem, I think the Stiplers quoted, I think it's the Aruch Rabbeinu. I think somebody asked him about going to a base of kvaros, to visit a kever in Chol HaMoed. Could he do it? So he said, you could go, but it's not worth anything because the neshamas aren't there in Chol HaMoed. They're elsewhere. They're up in there's no neshamas there, so you're wasting your time. So you have to ask someone like the Stipler, what about if the Ten Tefachim Deep is neshama? Maybe the neshama is not Ten Tefachim Deep. They're just wherever the neshama is. I don't know. Okay. So. So this theoretically would be another nafkamina, if the tzoa would be on such an amud. Now, what about, according to the Rashba, though, let's say a case going to the Rashba where it's on an amud or this type of thing, and you close your eyes, or it's nighttime. Now, till now, we've said that if it's in front of you, and it's within the same rishus, it's in this room, but the lights are off, and or I close my eyes, it's still us. Right? It's still Usr. Because according to the Rashba, it's still called Machaneh, but even according to the Rashba, it doesn't help to artificially, so to speak, create a situation that you can't see. It doesn't help to close your eyes. But in this case, when it's in a different Rashus, right? It's in a on an amud, or let's say the case where it's out the door. It's in a different room. It's just that the door to that room is open, and I'm facing that. I don't have the opportunity to turn the other way. I'm stuck facing it that way. So there, that's a shaila. Mr. Burr brings down a shaila, whether that's okay to close your eyes, and that maybe it would even work like the Rashba. He says b'shas al-chak, if you're stuck, then you could do that. You could just close your eyes and say it, and you'd be somech. Now, you'd be somech that's mutter. And he says, certainly, if you can't see it because it's too high, let's say it's on a high amen, and you can't see the tzoa, or it's deep down enough that you can't see it, then for sure it says it's okay, even according to the Rashba. That would be okay. Now, in general, in terms of this machlok is Rashi and Rashba, so the Bir Halacha brings that, both opinions are brought to Shulchan Aruch, and the Bir Halacha brings that it's considered a Suffolk Ladina. So we're machmir, you know, either way. We typically will machmir either way, but as I just said, even according to the Rashba, he has Mishnah Berurah suggests that it could be if you would just close your eyes, it would be good enough. So if a person is in a situation like that where he shas l'chak, that would be the Eitzah. Now, what happens if the person, there is a Reach, but from the feces, but it's coming from a different room. I mean, the substance, the tzoa, is in a different room, but the reach is coming here.
Yeah.
Okay, so the truth is, there's even an opinion in Shulchan Aruch that even if your mamash could, you know, the reach reaches you, it's still mutter, because since it's coming from a different rishus, that type of reach is not us. So lemaisa, we paskin like the day in Shulchan Aruch, the achronim, that it's us, or that if you actually, if the reach reaches you, then you can't say a bracha while you're in a place that you actually perceive the reach. However, you don't, as you're saying, you don't have to go dalet amos away from there, right? You just have to go, even if it's uncovered, right? Even if it's uncovered, where if it would be in your room, it would not be good enough to move away from the reach. You have to move dalet amos away from the edge, from the where the reach ends. But here you don't, like you're saying, here where it's coming from another rishus, so it would be, according to everyone, it would be okay just to move away to a place where you don't smell it anymore. Okay, now I just want to mention one nekuda, that as far as being covered, we said that if it's so is covered and you don't smell it, it's mutter, even if it's mamish right in front of you. And by the way, even if you could see it, right? We mentioned that last week, right? Even if you could, let's say it's covered with something, there's a piece of glass, right? Now, if it's in a different room and you see it through a glass window, that's for sure not a problem according to anyone, because even according to the Rashi, you know, it's obviously not a problem because it's in a different rishus. And even according to the Rashba, even though you see it, but you're seeing it through glass, that's like, you see, there's a barrier, there's a mechitza between you and that, so it's considered covered. So the fact that you see it is not a problem, because as we said last week, even if it's right in front of you, and it's covered with glass or plastic, and it's in a plastic box, you can see it, it's still mutter. As long as you don't smell anything, it's still mutter, right? So obviously if it's in another room, even you could see it through the window, that's not a problem. But water, clear water is not considered a kisui, different than glass. For this, clear water does not constitute a kisui. If it's murky water where you can't see it through, that would be considered a kisui. But clear water for which you can see it is not considered to be a sufficient covering. Mishnah Berurah says, though, if it's covered by snow, or he says maybe even frozen, ice, perhaps that he wants to say the Esher, that would also would be considered a cover. Okay, now one more point on tzoa is that if a person has tzoa on his own body, then so the halach is that there's two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Ayin Vav Sif Dalet, if it's covered by a garment, talking about for the person himself. For somebody else, sure, not a problem, right? If Reuven has tzoa, it's no Reuven, or a child has tzoa, no smell, but he has tzoa on his body, he's not so clean. But it's covered by a garment, so for me it's not a problem. I don't smell it and it's covered, right? That's fine. But for the person himself, right? The person himself has tzoa on his body, there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch if being covered by his garment, it makes it mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah brings, there's one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, even, that even those who are matir, that it's only if it's in a place where it's like naturally covered by the body, like under the arm or something, where the body itself naturally covers it, and then he's wearing a garment. But that otherwise it would not be, and not be a cover. The Shemur brings down is nachon lahachmer lechatchila. One should be machmer in that. I mean, obviously, a person would want to wash it off, of course, if he had the opportunity to. But even if it's a situation where, like, it might be difficult or something, and you know, as he got, let's say, he was changing a baby, and he got something on him, and whatever, it's not convenient, and it's covered, and there's no smell, and it's covered, it's still not so pashut. If possible, one should go to the extra trouble. It's not just a question of your own personal feelings or hygiene or whatever. You should take the extra step and try to wash it off to be machmer for the shita, that if the cover is not good enough when it's on your body.
Shabbos,
he has no
eitz. Say that again?
Well, if it's on his body, I mean, if it takes like hot water, he can't get it off so easily.
It's on his garment.
Yeah, well, his garment is different story. I'm talking about if it's on his body. Now, if it's on his garment and it's covered, that's for sure okay. With no smell, that's for sure okay. If it's on his garment and it's covered, we don't think it's on his body, mamish.
What about someone who has like a colostomy bag? So one, can they make a bracha at the chlal? And two, does that count as like it's covered or it's on them?
Yeah. Okay. So we talk about meiraglayim, and then we'll hopefully get to that. Okay. Now, and this halacha that I mentioned, that if it's on the body, it's covered, is a machlokas. That's talking about when it's an area of the body other than the place where it typically emerges from the body. If it's on the area of the body, it's called the halacha calls the piyat habas, which is the area from which the tzoa emerges from the human body. If it's tzoa there, tzoa left behind there, that's for sure a problem. Meaning one is definitely not allowed to say brachas or to daven if that area is not clean. That's l'kuliyam. So a b'piyat habas is a problem, even though it's covered and there's no reich, but it has to be cleaned off.
Okay, so let's say that includes a baby also, or like a toddler, right?
Well,
a baby that's on formula.
A baby that's
eating regular food.
Okay.
So their poop would also be.
For them or for you?
For me.
No, meaning if it's covered and there's no smell. Even though it's Pia Tabas, that's not a problem. Pia Tabas is a problem for the person himself.
Okay, and that seems like a mashu?
Yes, that's what it says. Now, I think it's a Dindur Rabbanan. I'm pretty sure it's Dindur Rabbanan. But the reason it says, because in that area it tends to have a greater sirchot, it's more mos, and it's more, you know, putrid. So that's why it's more chamer. Okay.
How do they, back in the day when they only had like rocks?
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. Especially, and there's halachas also about, say, on Shabbos, if a person's in a place and he has to use like some grass, he can't even pull it out. And so that question has been raised before. So I've heard some bring like a riot from there that you have to get everything off that, you know, but you don't have to drive yourself crazy because, you know, what do they do? Me'idach Gisa. There are those that tie into that it's a kol lefi hador, that
we consider that
since we're capable of doing more, so that halacha is mechayev. It could be for them when this is all they had were rocks and or weather things, and they couldn't. There's a limit to how much you could be mekaneach, otherwise stop bleeding. There was a limit. So then it could be the halacha only required a certain darga. Whereas nowadays, when it's much more feasible to get clean, you have to. They bring that concept legabe. Tefillin also, they got to be the ribuah of tefillin. Apparently, there was, you know, the tefillin have to be perfectly square. Apparently, there was a time when the tools they had just made it, I think, nearly impossible to get mamash square. They didn't have what we have nowadays, the kalim that we have. So there was one, ribuah had one that had certain definition. But nowadays, that it's possible to get it so much more, you know, perfect, then it has a different definition. There's a different mechayev. I've heard this, concept. Okay, now I want to shift a little bit to meiraglayim. Meiraglayim, which is urine, is also a substance which one has to be marchik from. However, min haTorah, it's only in front of the kiluach, meaning if there's what's called an omid shel meiraglayim, if a person is actually urinating in front of you, and there's a or the person himself, or so, and there's a omid shel meiraglayim, that's asur min haTorah to say brachos in front of that. Whereas once it lands in a keli or on the ground, it's not osam min haTorah. And even if it's coming out of the person, but it's not coming b'kiluach, let's say a person who unfortunately has difficulty with continence, or a person who's in a situation where they're trying to prevent it, but they need to relieve themselves to the extent where they can't completely hold it back, and it's like dripping out. It's called shoses. It's dripping out down the legs. That Mr. Brewer brings, it's a shaila, but that he brings is the rabbanon. So again, so whether it's on, it's totally out in a keli or on the ground, or, and we're talking again when there's no real stench from it, just the substance itself. So it's only derisive if it would be actually the umud, the actual kiluach, the actual flow as it's coming out. But otherwise, it's still usher, midi rabbanan.
Even if it's in a different room that it's happening? Let's say I'm in the hallway and one of the little kids is in the bathroom and the door's open, and they're doing that.
And
let's say they're urinating,
So you want to know, is it us or midaraisa? You're saying
us? Or even their abundant. I mean, let's say, is it only if you see it, or if it, even if you know what's happening?
No, you're talking about you see it. And certain words. Yeah, that's right. I'm not talking about that. Well, 1 second. The question is, does Dal Ramas, or maybe Dal, but then you're Dal Ramas, probably.
Like, let's say you're walking right past the bathroom, and the bathroom door is open, and your, 7-year-old or whatever is making,
And you're with, okay, but it's not. It's not, you're not in the same, it's in a different machaneh, right? You're not in the same shas, is it? Uh-huh. Right? And you're not previously in that seeing anything. So then l'chara would not be a problem once it's in a different room. Okay. Now, the fact that it's only derabbanan, though, it's still asur, and even b'di'evid, the Ramah brings in one place, and the Mishnah goes with this, that even b'di'evid, if you did daven or said kriya shema or something, in a place you were not, you were in the proximity of the Meraglayim, in a keli or on the ground, you still have to daven again, even though it's only asur midrabbanan, you still have to daven over again, because it's asur, and even b'di'evid, it affects your kriya shema, it affects your davening, that you'd have to repeat davening.
Does this only apply to humans, or like, is it like Tzoa that it was exempt from Kelev?
I'd have to look to be sure. Meraglayim of an animal. I have to check it up. That's an interesting question. I didn't see. I don't know if it's rough.
Can you repeat that one more time? Even if there's just a pot, like if it's just a puddle, is in, someone would have to be Krishma?
Yes, if they were within the Dalar Amis of it, they'd have to. Yes, and they knew about it. If they didn't know about it, there, but they wouldn't have to. And even because there, you're not mechuyev to check. It says since it's only the Rabbanon, you're not mechuyev to check for that. And even if it's a place where, sometimes there, you don't have to check. But if you knew about it, and you daven anyway, even with the Evid, you would not be able to see. Now, by the same token, though, so first of all, though, you could remedy it by adding a revius of water. If you add water, pour water into it, or if it was, initially, it was poured into water, meaning if there was water, like in a toilet bowl, there was water in a basin, and the meraglayim got poured into that water, and then it's considered batel. Either way, put the water in the first or second, it's considered batel. Okay, now, if the Shulchan Aruch talks about a case where a person is davening and he's unable to, to control himself completely, and his meraglayim are dripping out of him, so this is brought in Siman Ayin Ches, it says that he should stop while it's actually happening, but then he's allowed to continue, even if his garment got soiled from it, as long as it's his outer garment is not soiled. Right, and there's even if his undergarments or under layers of begadim underneath are soiled, are wet. Now, wet here, the definition of wet means if it's wet enough that it's called tofeach amanas latfiach, that if you would touch it, you could get, your finger would get wet enough to transfer some wetness to another place. Right? That's called tofeach amanas latfiach. You could make something else wet from it. So if the outer garment is that wet, then it's also. That's called meraglayim still, right? Meraglayim doesn't just mean there's a puddle on the floor. It means even a beged that has meraglayim in it, but the beged is so wet from it that, as I said, you would touch it, your finger would get wet enough to make something else wet. But that's only a problem if it's the outer garment. So this person who's davening and is in a situation where he's not completely in control, so while it's actually dripping out, he's supposed to stop, but afterwards he's allowed to continue. He's allowed to continue. Now, if it's not, Now, so it says like this: if it's the outer beged, so anything but Shemona Esrei, he has to go and change the, you know, and the changes. Because if he's in the middle of Shemona Esrei, then even if his outer beged is wet like that, it's mutter to, since it's the Yisr is the Rabbanan, so they allowed him to continue and finish Shemona Esrei, even if the outer beged is mamish that wet. Now, okay, so now here they talk about, what about a person who has a catheter, where his urine is coming out at any time. He doesn't necessarily even know when it's coming out. So many posts can talk about this, and there's a tshuva already in the Igros Moshe, an old tshuva back from about 1958 or so in the Igros Moshe, and then there's more contemporary tshuvas, and there's the Nishmas Avraham brings from Shlomo Zalman. Many posts can talk about this, and they say that a person with a catheter is allowed to daven. He doesn't have to be concerned about the fact that it might be that, you know, the urine might be coming out at any given point, because again the whole issa like this is only the rabbana, because we said before, even if it's shoses, even if it's coming out of the person, but it's not coming out as a stream, it's just like, you know, dripping out or coming out without force, then it's to begin with is the rabbana, and here where it's completely closed enclosed by the tubing and whatever else, you know, by the catheter, and the person really has no other option at this point, so he's allowed to daven. He's allowed to say brachos, he's allowed to bench, etc.
Can he put tefillin?
Yes, he can. Now the question is, though, the main question they talk about is, does it have to be covered, though? Does the catheter itself have to be covered? Let's say he's in the hospital bed, and it's exposed. It's not necessarily, does he have to make sure to cover it? So Rav Moshe in the Tshuva writes that it should be covered. Certainly if it's made out of rubber material, it definitely should be covered. And if it's made out of plastic, then he says, it's a shayla, but it's still better to cover. What's the whole deal here?
Well, why will you cover it if you can pray in front of number two if it's barely covered? Let's say you have a glass with number two inside, you can pray. Why should you cover
Why something? Is this worse?
Yeah.
Okay, very good question. The answer is that, and this introduces a whole new area really, that a keli that's designated for this purpose to collect feces or urine, that's its function, is what's called a graf sharei, and that itself has halachas that you can't daven in front of it. What I told you, that if you have the, you know, you just said, oh, you have the feces or the substance in front of you, you can cover it, it's okay. That's talking about it's on the ground or it's in something random, and you cover it, then you're fine. But if it's in an apparatus, a keli, which is meant for that, it's designed, a bedpan or a portable potty, this type of thing, which is meant for that, then that thing itself is usher to daven in front of, depending on the material it's made out of. But we'll get, okay, but on,
even if it's clean?
Even if it's clean. Really? Depending on the material it's made out of. And then we'll go in a minute. So that's where emotions come, before we get to all the details, that's where emotions coming from, that this thing he looks at as like the, it's like a bedpan in a sense. It's designed, its whole function, its whole the thing was manufactured for is to collect urine. Therefore, both the tubing and the bag, Rav Moshe looks at like this, what he called graf sharei, avit shomei raglayim, and it has to be covered. Not because of what's going through it, because of it.
If it's never used yet,
no. Unless there's another halacha, if it's something like a potty, which is by design, you see what it's
for,
then
yes. You're in the storage room of the hospital, let's say, and all this stuff is brand new and sterilized, and you can't make
weapons. So, I think it says if it's something which is designed for that, meaning it's not just, you know, a pan that they're going to use for that, but you technically use it for 10 other purposes, this is what it is, by, you know, it's apparent, then even so. They say, well, I have to double check.
Is that
why
it's also going to make a rock in the bathroom, because of bad reason?
Well, the bathroom itself is not just because it's the mukum itself is usher.
Same, because let's say it was like the toilet was closed, and so therefore. Like,
right. No, but the basic kisei itself is a mukum. It's usher. So that's where Rav Moshe writes in the Shuv. It has to be covered because it's itself because of the apparatus itself. Rosh Shlomo Zalman is quoted though as saying, since it's disposable, it's made for temporary use and meant to be disposed of, it never gets that status. If it's something that's made to be used and reused like a pan, it's made for that, it's made for a more permanence, then it's usher even if it's clean, etc., and empty and clean. But if it's disposable, he says it never gets the shame graf avit shel mei raglayim. That's Rosh Shlomo Zalman's chiddush, which is quoted in the Nishmas Avram. So now here's where that's why Reb Moshe is mechalik. He says if it's made out of rubber, then it's definitely usur, because what it says, I'm just going to give you a brief rundown of the materials. Too many bookmarks here. Here we go. If it's made out of matecha, it's made out of metal, glass, according to this sefer, even plastic, then if it's cleaned well, emptied and clean, and it has no odor, then it's mutter. Whereas if it's made out of wood, rubber, or cheres, like enamel or ceramic type of thing, then it's usur. And the difference is because those are more porous and absorbent, and it's harder, even if they're clean, but it's hard to really get rid of the substance. Whereas glass and metal is okay. So Ramesha writes, if it's made out of rubber, it's for sure a problem. Plastic, he says, tzarichin, if it's a problem or not, yesh lahachmir. This sefer said the Yeshay Israel, he puts plastic on the list of things that are good. But Ramesha writes there, even by glass, it's tov lahachmir. Okay, maybe we'll come back just to this. I know we are trying to move on from this, but I think it's important just to talk about the shiloh of the garbage bins in the street and stuff like that, where that fits in with this and some other halachas telling on this. And then maybe we'll get back to you. They talk about also the class, the meat bag and stuff. It's very similar to the catheter, but we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like water.